This is Prerna from Mumbai, India.
Prerna
Happy Rajashtami
Mataji
to everyone.
Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you, Mataji, for joining and giving your session. Happy Rajashtami to everyone. Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have on the auspicious day of Radhashtami, His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Glories of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna, Amarendra Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, we are very fortunate to have you on the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, your screen is very...
It's not working, I think. Just a minute.
Yeah.
Somehow my laptop camera is not working. Hare Krishna, Govinda. Let me try again. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, Prabhu, if you have a phone, you can join using that as a camera and... laptop as audio, that will also work.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, somehow this laptop camera is spoiled, I believe. We are having so many classes. Every time it's always been fine. Oh, there you go.
We can see you.
Got it.
Radhe, Radhe.
Radhashtami ki jai. Thank you for your valuable association this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji, for kindly having me. Really want to thank all the devotees for kindly joining in on this virtual celebration of Sri Radhashtami. I want to thank the organizers of the call for kindly considering me for this service on this most auspicious occasion on the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, who is the worshipable deity for the whole world, for the whole creation, more specifically for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, before we begin, I would like to very quickly offer a few prayers in the Mangala Acharana, and then we can get started. I request the devotees to kindly raise their volume because I'm getting messages about the volume being low. So I'm speaking close to the microphone. So if you can kindly raise the volume, then probably you can hear. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we want to offer our obeisances at the most compassionate lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who by His sincere endeavor and unbelievable mercy and compassion spread the glories of Srimati Radharani far and wide in this dark age of Kali Yuga. No one has spread the glories of Srimati Radhika as much as Srila Prabhupada. He established Srimati Radharani as the deity, the Archavigraha deity, in so many temples around the world. And he also gave us so many different literatures and classes and the mood of actually worshipping Srimati Radharani. And welcoming her mercy in the heart and directing it towards the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, services towards the lotus feet of Krishna. We want to offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of all the wonderful Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas who have all lived their lives glorifying Srimati Radharani, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan who are the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have written Ashtakams after Ashtakams. Raghunath Das Goswami has written a Radhika Ashtakam. Rupa Goswami has written a Radhika Ashtakam. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written a Radhika Ashtakam. All these wonderful acharyas have written books after books, commentaries after commentaries, glorifying the very exalted position of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and so many other acharyas have written the books glorifying the pastimes of Radharani with Sri Krishna. How much Radharani controls Sri Krishna, and how much Sri Krishna surrenders his life to Srimati Radhika. How much he considers Radharani to be his only treasured property, his only priceless possession in the whole of creation. I want to offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who took this bhav of Srimati Radharani, this complexion of Srimati Radharani, and went around this world giving Radha Prem as his gift, as an expression of his love. I bow down at the lotus feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. This topic of Radha Tattva, the pastimes of Srimati Radharani, are very exalted and it's inconceivable. It's difficult even for Krishna to explain Radha Tattva. This is why he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to speak of Brahma and Shiva and other demigods, and then what to speak of those in the material world, those in Kali Yuga, what to speak of me. So I will not be able to speak anything about Radharani. My words cannot describe the beauty of Radharani, the glories of Radharani. In fact, it is described when Vishnu is glorified with examples of this world, like, for example, the eyes of Vishnu are like lotus petals. What happens? These glorifications go up to Vaikuntha, and Jaya and Vijay reject these glorifications. They're almost getting angry. How dare you insult our Lord with your third-class poetry and your third-class comparisons? The third-class lotus of this world, you're using that to compare, to give an idea about the lotus eyes of Sri Vishnu. We reject these expressions. But however, Vishnu comes out and he says, okay, no, let us accept. These are offered with so much devotion by the devotees. So when our glorification with our material tongue cannot even reach Vaikuntha, what to speak of reaching Goloka, and what to speak of reaching the groves, the pleasure groves, the Nikunjas of Radha and Krishna, and glorifying Radharani, it's impossible. But because today is Radhashtami, and we want to whet our appetite and fill our hearts with appreciation for Srimati Radharani and her super excellent position, unparalleled, unprecedented position in the life of Sri Krishna. Therefore, we must speak something for our purification and for the satisfaction of the Vaishnavas, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. Those who worship Vishnu as their presiding deity, as their Adhishthatri Dev, as their most prominent Ishtadev, worshipable Lord, prominent Lord in their life, those personalities who worship Vishnu are called as Vaishnavas. And those who worship only Krishna are called Karshnavas or Karshnayas. But those who worship Srimati Radharani, one of her thousand names is Gauri. Those who worship Radharani as their life and soul, as their only presiding, predominating, prominent deity, their Ishtadevi, they are not just Vaishnavas, not just Karshnavas, they are Gaudiyas. Because Gauri is one of the names of Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani. So therefore, we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, aspiring to approach the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we must hear and speak and remember about Radha and Krishna. Generally, there is a strong caution placed with respect to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna by our acharyas, rightly so, because we have no qualification. So our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that the very high-class esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna can be approached by only those who are substantially cleansed in their consciousness. And similar caution has been mentioned by Srila Prabhupada also. we generally never speak about Radha and Krishna so much. We speak about the tattva, the philosophy, the philosophical position of Radha and Krishna. But because today is Radhashtami, for today, we want to drink little drops of pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There are other qualified speakers who are very expert in deliberating and explaining Radha Tattva and Krishna Tattva. But I don't know any of these tattvas. But to present stories is easier. So this morning, on the beautiful sunrise of the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the appearance of the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, we want to hear a few beautiful pastimes on the topic of how wonderfully Srimati Radharani controls Krishna. This is the theme. We know Radharani is called Manini Sri Radha. Radharani is she who can hold on to a mood called Man, where she can sulk with transcendental anger and she can control Krishna completely. So we will speak about this today. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned that jivas in this world generally, they can possess some of the qualities out of the top 50 qualities that Brahma possesses completely, qualitatively and quantitatively. The jivas of this world can possess some of them at some times in some amount. Some of those qualities for some time in some amount. So quantity, quality and time varies. But Brahma possesses all 50 of them to a great extent for 311 trillion 40 billion years. And that's the time span of Brahma's avadhi, his lifespan. But then more than 50 qualities of Brahma, Rupa Goswami explains there are 5 extra qualities to Lord Shiva that makes him the possessor of 55 qualities. Vishnu possesses 5 more, so that is 60 qualities to Vishnu. And our Krishna in Vrindavan possesses 4 more than Vishnu. That makes him the possessor of 64 transcendental qualities. However, Rupa Goswami mentions Sri Krishna, he possesses unlimited qualities. But just for naming's sake, we are naming 64. Just to give us an idea. Because if you start speaking about Krishna's qualities, books after books after books after books can be written and you can't end. You can come to the far end, the other side of the shore of the ocean of Krishna's qualities. So much so that Srila Rupa Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they mention that there could be a point where the scientists would be able to count the number of atoms in this world. They would be able to count the number of stars in the sky. They may be able to count the number of raindrops or snowflakes, but it is impossible for them to count the number of qualities of Sri Krishna. Now, please tell me, is it possible to count the number of atoms in this world? Is it possible to count the number of raindrops? Is it possible to count the number of stars in the sky? Is it possible to count the number of waves in the ocean? These are all impossibilities. It's never possible to count all of them very decisively, properly. But our acharyas are mentioning that also may be a possibility, but it is impossible to count the number of qualities Sri Krishna possesses in Braja. The 4 important qualities that Krishna possesses over Vishnu also. Vishnu in Vaikuntha possesses 60, but Krishna possesses 64 main ones. The 4 extra ones are called as Venu Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's flute playing, Rupa Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's transcendental form, Leela Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, and Prema Madhuri, the sweetness of loving associates of Sri Krishna. The quality of Krishna's associates in Braja are unmatched. You can't find any incarnation having such qualities as far as loving associates are concerned. They may have associates who are subservient to them in complete opulence. But to have associates who are friendly, to have associates who are motherly and fatherly, and to have associates in conjugal mood, like the gopis of Vrindavan, no incarnation has it like Sri Krishna in Vraja. So therefore, one of Krishna's qualities, out of these 64 transcendental qualities, which stand out as one of the most prominent qualities of Krishna, is Bhritya Vashyata. Bhritya Vashyata means, Bhritya means servant, and Vashyata means the ability to bring someone under Vasha, Vashibhut, which means to control, to completely conquer. So Krishna has this quality of being completely conquered by his dear servants and his devotees. Very specifically, Prayasi Vashibhut. Prayasi means the gopis of Vrindavan, headed by Radharani. Vashibhut. Krishna becomes completely controlled, not just by his devotees, Bhritya, but very specifically by the Sakhis, the gopis, or Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. There's a very beautiful verse to mention how much Krishna loves his devotees in Vrindavan and how much Prayasi Vashibhut or Bhritya Vashyata Bhav he has in Vrindavan. In the Padyavali, I believe it is explained, Gopalangana kardame viharase vipradvare lajjase bruse goshata hunkrute stutishatai maunam vidatse satam dasyam gokula sundari shukuruse swamyam nadantatmasu nyatam krishna tavangri pankajayugam premaiva labhya param. So the Acharya mentions Krishna's quality of being controlled by the devotees. What is it? Gopalangana kardame viharase vipradvare lajjase. Vipra advare lajjase. When the brahmanas offer yajnas to call out to Krishna, Krishna becomes very shy in his glorification. He doesn't appear there. That's a very interesting way of saying the yajnas of the brahmanas does not appeal to Krishna. Therefore, he doesn't appear. But the poetic way of saying is lajjase. Oh, he feels very shy that he's being glorified and therefore he doesn't appear there. Vipradvare lajjase. Brahmanas are performing all the mantras and the yantras and the tantras and the mudras and offering all their paraphernalia into the sacrificial fire. And seldom do we see Krishna appear there. But where is he easily found? Gopalangana kardame viharase. Oh, Krishna, viharase. You are busy rolling and frolicking and enjoying. Where? Kardame. In the mud. In the dust, in the wet mud, with cow dung and cow urine mixed there. Where? Gopalangana. In the courtyard of the cowherd boys and the cowherd men of Braja. In the courtyard, the front yard or the backyard of the Brajvasis. There, Krishna, you're busy rolling in the cow dung. There you're easily found. But vipradvare lajjase. It's very difficult to find you in the sacrificial offerings of the brahmanas because you're very shy to appear there. And then, second line, stuti shatai maunam vidatse satam. When satam, saintly people, they keep maunam, they keep silence for lifetimes, years in one life and many lives like that. They keep quiet to realize the Paramatma. Now still, the Paramatma does not speak a word to them. Maunam. He does not speak anything. The saintly people, the yogis are performing tapasya, the dhyan marg. And the Hatha yogis, they are performing complete absorption in the Paramatma feature by keeping quiet. But Krishna, you also keep quiet to them. You don't speak a word. But on the other hand, in Vrindavan, bruse goshata hunkrute, if a go, a cow, just once hunkrute, once the cow speaks, then what does Krishna do? Bruse. Oh, Krishna, you go and speak to them. How many times? Shata. 100 times you go and speak to a cow. Oh, what happened? Are you hungry? Do you feel very hot by the sun? Do you want to bathe? Do you want to eat some grass? Do you want to be relieved? Is the rope too tight on your neck? Do you want to come and play with me? Are you feeling sleepy? Just with one. Krishna's having hundreds and hundreds of conversations with the cow. But those saints, those yogis who are sitting maunam vidatse satam for lifetimes, Krishna maunadhari. He's not speaking a word to them. He's keeping quiet. This is the second interesting line. The third line says, dasyam gokula sundarishu kurute kuruse swamyam nadantatmasu. Swamyam nadantatmasu. Those who are self-controlled to get you on their path of Vaidhi Bhakti. Swamyam. You don't even agree to become their master and accept them as servants. For lifetimes, they may try sincerely, but very difficult for them to offer service to you because you're transcendental and they're stuck in gross and subtle material bodies, which means you're not even agreeing to accept them as servant and become their master. But on the other hand, in Vraja, dasyam gokula sundarishu. You walk around becoming the das, the servant of the Braja gopis. Either the motherly gopis or the madhuryamai gopis. For the vatsalyamai, motherly gopis, you're carrying bricks from one place to another. You're carrying pots and pots of milk from one place to another. You're also carrying a pan filled with cow dung from one place to another to make cow dung patties. So Krishna carry this from here to there. Oh, the mother says that Krishna carries. He is becoming the servant of the motherly gopis or the madhuryamai gopis in the conjugal pastimes. But swamyam nadantatmasu, those who are self-controlled, Krishna is not even ready to accept them as servants and become their master. So three things we said. He is not appearing in front of the brahmanas who are performing yajna, but he is busy rolling in the dust of the gopalangana karadame, the courtyard of the cowherd community. And second, he does not speak a word to the yogis who are sitting to meditate on the Paramatma. Instead, he's busy having hundreds and hundreds of conversations with the calves and the cows of Braja. And the third point, he's not ready to accept anyone as a servant and become their master, even if they're self-controlled. But on the other hand, he's ready to become the servant of the Gokula Sundarishu, the Gokula Sundaris. Three contradictions. So the fourth line is the conclusion drawn. What is the conclusion? Nyatam Krishna Tavangri Pankaja Yugam Premaiva Labhya Param. That Krishna Nyatam, we have now understood that Tava Angri, to get the Pankaja Yugam, the two lotuses of your feet, we have understood if we want to attract the two lotuses of your feet into our heart, there's only one way. That is Premaiva Labhya Param. Only by love. There is no other way Krishna can be conquered. And there is no one who can love Krishna like the Vrajvasis, especially the Vraja Gopis. So therefore, there's no one who controls Krishna like the Vraja Gopis. This is why his quality of Prayasi Vashibhut is very apt. We are mentioning how Krishna becomes very subservient. He becomes subordinate to the Vraja Gopis. You may know that in Barsana Dham, there's a very beautiful narrow passage, the meeting of two mountains. It's called as Sankari Khor. There's a dark mountain which represents Vishnu. It's called Vishnu Parvat. And there's a fair mountain which represents Brahma. It's called as Brahma Parvat. And that fair mountain has four peaks. So that those four peaks are the four heads of Brahma. So the meeting of this dark mountain called Vishnu Parvat and this fair mountain called Brahma Parvat, this meeting point is called as Sankari Khor. And Sankari Khor is a place where the passage is so narrow that only one person lined up in a queue, in a line, can walk past this meeting. However thin or however fat we may be, the passage is so narrow that only one behind the other, can walk through this path. This is in fact the start of the Barsana Parikrama, Sankari Khor. It's the entrance to the Barsana Parikrama. Every devotee who does Barsana Parikrama, this is the entrance point. So what does this show? What does the Sankari Khor represent? Sankari Khor, which this narrow passage represents something very, very fundamental on the path of bhakti. Rupa Goswami mentions, for one to get Krishna, one must perform bhakti. And bhakti is anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. In a very favorable way, one must cultivate the mood of anushilanam. Anu means repeatedly. Anu means anukul bhavena. Anu means anugatya, which means to be under guidance of superiors, to repeatedly, constantly perform something, and in a favorable mood, cultivate. When one serves Krishna in the cultivation, in a very favorable way, constantly, continuously, regularly, under guidance of superior, that is called anukulyena Krishna anushilana. But at the same time, this being the mukhya lakshan, the primary characteristic, there's a gauna lakshan, there's a secondary characteristic, and that is anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavritam. That one must be free of all other desires. Only one desire. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Everything else zero. Which means only one desire. That is Radha Krishna Seva Vasana. Radha Krishna Seva Pabo A Abhilashi. I have only this one desire that let me serve Radha and Krishna. Oftentimes people ask this question. I have bathed in Radha Kund so many times. But Rupa Goswami says one bath in Radha Kund will give Krishna prem. So why is it that we are not getting it? Well, are we bathing in Radha Kund with this faith that one bath in Radha Kund will give me love of Godhead? Do we have that pragad, vishwas, shraddha? Also, is this ekameva icha? Is this my only desire that I want Radha Krishna seva, Radha Krishna prema, and nothing else? Till the time these two characteristics are not met, it will take time to fructify. So this narrow passage of Sankarikor represents that if you want to start your parikrama of seva to Radha and Krishna, then the entrance point is you have to drop off all the carry baggage, all the luggage of reward-seeking activities, of karma, of jnana sadhana to get mukti, yoga sadhana, shushka tapasya, dry, unnecessary austerity. We must give up all these luggages and walk with this on this narrow path. Only one person can move, which means only those with one desire, that I want only Krishna, Radha Krishna seva, and nothing else. And that too, under the guidance of Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, the superior Vaishnavas. Those who have this mood, that there's nothing else that I desire, deserve, nothing else that I even in my dreams want, they walk this one path under guidance, one behind the other, right? So you're all alone, only one, and that too behind the person, which means we are under guidance and with only one desire, only those can enter the Barsana Dham and no one else. Therefore, even when we put tilak, we see that end of the tilak, this side of the tilak is Radharani and this side of the tilak is Krishna, or either way, one is Radharani and one is Krishna. And we know that in mathematics, we know parallel lines don't meet. Parallel lines don't meet. So in our tilak, Radha and Krishna walk parallel. Why? Because if they're not parallel, they will meet, but after meeting, they will cross over and there will be separation. We don't want that. We want them to eternally keep moving with each other. So this is an eternal walk of Radha and Krishna, parallel to each other. But at the same time, it pains our heart that they're not able to meet each other. Therefore, these parallel tracks of Radha and Krishna, they definitely meet. Where do they meet? They meet by the mercy of Tulsi, which is Vrindavan Dham, Vrinda Devi. So for one to be able, capable enough of serving that Radha Krishna in their meeting pastime in Vrindavan, what do? We take this middle portion out. This middle portion represents Anya Abhilash, other desires. So we take that off to say, no more desires, no other desires. So this center portion between the tilak is Anya Abhilashita Shunya. I want to take it out, and then by the mercy of the parampara, I can be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna in the realm of Braja. So in this very beautiful place called Sankarikor, there have been many beautiful pastimes which illustrate how Krishna is Prayasi Vashibhut. He possesses this quality of being controlled by the Sakhis. Especially when Radha and Krishna were young, they would have many beautiful pastimes here, childhood pastimes also. So when Radharani would come with her Sakhis wandering in Barsana Dham, and when they were about to start walking through Sankarikor, this narrow piece of Braj Mandal, at that time Krishna would think, this is a very good place for ambush. An ambush is an attack. So Krishna is hiding in the bushes and with his friends, and he's thinking, this is a very good place for an ambush. We could come out and confront and conquer the gopis, the young Sakhis and Radharani. So they're all very young. These are those childhood pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So one day it so happened that Radharani with her Sakhis, they were bringing pots and pots of ghee for the brahmanas, for their yajnas. And Krishna with his friends, he came there and he blocked their path and said, now you better give me tax if you wish to pass through this place. He knows they can't escape because it's a narrow tract of land. It's a narrow piece of passage of land. So Krishna with his Sakhas, his friends, when he obstructed and he said that, you better give me tax, otherwise you can't pass. The Sakhis of Radharani, they walked ahead, especially Lalita Sakhi. They said, we don't have to pay you anything. You don't own this land. This land belongs to Srimati Radharani. So therefore, you are supposed to pay us. We don't have to pay you anything. And in this way, very wonderful. Back and forth, the pastimes would go on a daily basis. And especially in childhood, when Radha and Krishna, they have a very sweet, natural, spontaneous, transcendental, eternal affection for each other. That is seen by teasing. So Krishna would pull the braid, the hair of the gopis, and he would pull and he would make them, their pots drop from the head. And in this way, he and his friends would clap and laugh and then plunder all their milk and milk products. So people, the Brajbasis would say, oh, look at the son of Nanda Maharaj. Look what is happening. When the Sakis are passing through Barsana in Sankari Kor, this boy, the future king of Braja, he is breaking all the pots with, sometimes he comes with Subal, sometimes he comes with Sridham, sometimes he comes with Madhu Mangal. And nowadays, by repeated performance and success in these pastimes, he has become so confident that sometimes he comes only with Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal with his big belly, he can't even run. But look at the confidence of Krishna. He feels he can do all of this by himself. He has a lot of experience by now. So one day what happened is that Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi and Srimati Radharani, they planned to give back Krishna the taste of his own medicine. Now is the time for revenge. So what did the gopis do? They came first and they hid in the bushes. They were very confident that this time they could attack Krishna and take revenge. So Krishna came there and he came with very few friends. There was not a big extended gang of associates. So the gopis were hiding and giggling that today is a very good day. We can conquer him with our group because we can outnumber as far as the group is concerned. We have so many sakhis and so many gopis here, so many gopi associate friends. So they hid in the bush. And when Krishna and his few friends came walking there, they all jumped out from different sides, different kunjas, different bushes. They all jumped. Some were even, they climbed up the tree and they were hiding. They all jumped from different places. And Krishna with Madhu Mangal cornered in the center and the sakhis took over. They made a big circle around. In fact, they made multiple layers of circle. There was the first innermost and then the middle and then the outermost so that the two friends can't escape. And they had couple of timid associates of Krishna. Now the gopis said, oh, now is the time for us to take revenge. Oh, Radhika, you give us the signal and we are ready to conquer. And Radharani claps in approval. And then what happens? All the sakhis, they take over the situation, not just surrounding, they tie Madhu Mangal's and other friends' shikha to a rope and put it around a tree. So when they pull it from the other side of the tree, Madhu Mangal's almost on the tip of his toes, pulled by the shikha. And now the young gopi associates of Radharani are saying, okay, now you dance. We want to see how the hefty Madhu Mangal dances on the tip of his toenails. And they're pulling the rope from the other side as his shikha is being pulled. And Madhu Mangal says, oh, stop. I'm innocent. I am just an innocent Brahmana. I'm implicated in this situation by the association of this low caste boy, Sri Krishna. And all the sakis are laughing and Krishna is looking at Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal is looking at Krishna. And then the gopis, they corner Krishna. And they said, now we will teach you a lesson that you will remember all your life. You will never ever think of cornering and attacking and stopping our path. And Krishna agrees. He surrenders himself to the Sakhis. Krishna is also a young boy and Radharani is also a young girl. All of them are very young. They are in single digits as far as age is concerned. They are very young as associates. So they dress Krishna as a gopi. They part Krishna's hair with one veini and they put earrings for Krishna and a nice sindoor and they put on a skirt for Krishna and they say, oh, you look very beautiful today and we all unanimously name you Shama Sakhi. And they all clap, oh, Shama Sakhi. And Krishna's feeling very, very embarrassed. He's putting his head down, embarrassment, being completely embarrassed. He's looking around and Madhu Mangal says, I was being pulled up by the shikha. I thought that is embarrassing. But looking at you, I feel I'm in a very good position. At least they accept me as a boy. Krishna, as he looks down, Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi say, oh, it's not done yet. We still have to stack up a few pots of ghee and butter and other milk products on top of your head. And they push a few pots, stack up a few pots on top of his head. And when they do that, Vishakha Sakhi, she whistles, giving a signal. And Lalita Sakhi, who's standing on top of the mountain here in Sankarikor, she throws stone one after another. Boom, boom, and boom. And then she, as she throws the stones, corresponding pots on the head of Krishna are broken. And all the ghee and the butter is all falling to the ground. Krishna's dancing, trying to hold his pots in a feminine form. And all the Sakhis are laughing and clapping. And in this way, when Krishna is very, very embarrassed, they again corner him and they say, will you ever harass Srimati Radharani like this again? Krishna holds his ear and says, no, never will I again do this. The Sakhis say, have you learned a lesson? Oh, yeah, I have learned a lesson. Will you ever do this to again? No, I will never do this again. Now, offer your obeisances to Radharani and say, I apologize for my mistakes. I'm completely conquered by your Sakhis. And I have learned a very good lesson and never again will I do this. So Krishna offers his obeisances with a peacock feather. Says, yeah. Oh Radhika, oh Radharani, I completely surrender myself to the feet of these gopis. They have taught me a lifelong lesson. Krishna does all this only to do the same thing again next day. So this is a matter of great happiness to the Sakhis that Krishna surrenders his life to Srimati Radharani and the Sakhis. So this we see is a very beautiful quality of Krishna. Although he is the source of all sources, the creator of all creators, the lord of all lords, the origin of all origins, he's God. He is Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashashriya, as described by Parashara Muni. He is the source of Mahavishnu, Karana Udaka Shai Vishnu. And Karana Udaka Shai Vishnu is the source for innumerable Garbha Udaka Shai Vishnus. And Garbha Udaka Shai Vishnus are the source for innumerable Brahmas in this material world. And these Brahmas are all sources for innumerable universes in this world where we all reside. So we reside in the universe created by Brahma, who is originating in the lotus from the navel of Garbha Udaka Shai Vishnu. And Garbha Udaka Shai Vishnu originates in Karana Udaka Shai Vishnu, and innumerable Karana Udaka Shai Vishnus manifest from Krishna's body, all manifesting different universes and different material creations, parallel universes also. So that Krishna, who's the, as far as Aishwarya Shakti is concerned, he's the source of all Leela avatars and Purusha avatars and Manvantara avatars. That Krishna in Vraja, he's surrendering himself to the Vrajvasis, very specifically to the Vraja Sakhis, very specifically to Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the crown on the mountain of divine love. And what makes Krishna get attracted to Srimati Radharani is the presence of her pure devotion. Sometimes someone could ask this question. Well, Krishna is the most attractive person we know. He is Sarva Karana Karanam, and he is Krishi Bhu Vachako Shabdho Nascha Nivritti Vachaka Tayo Raikyam Parabrahma Krishna Iti Avidhiyate, as defined in the Mahabharata and quoted by Jiva Goswami, reiterated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and commented by Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna is the most attractive person. But what attracts Krishna, this is very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Krishna is very attractive because of his qualities. But someone who possesses devotion for Krishna, that nature of that devotion is such that it is Sri Krishna Akarshini. It makes that person more attractive than Krishna, because Krishna can never possess devotion for himself. There is one thing that Krishna can do, and that is possess devotion for himself. But he could do that as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not as Brajendranandan Shyamasundar. He has love for his devotees, but he doesn't possess love for himself, because he is the Vishay Vigraha. He is the object of love. He is not the Ashray Vigraha. He is not the abode of love. Srimati Radharani is the abode of love. And because she holds love for Krishna, that holding aspect of Krishna Prem attracts Krishna, because that Krishna Prem is more attractive than Krishna. Therefore, one quality of pure bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, is Shri Krishna Akarshini. It completely attracts Krishna. So wherever there is devotion, Krishna becomes subservient to that person and gets attracted to the presence of devotion in the heart. And also it goes the other way. Someone who has devotion in their heart, they can see Krishna to be more attractive than others. Like for example, the mother who may have a child, and the child may have some problem with the eye, may have some defect with the eye, maybe it could be squint or may have some other problems, complications with the eye. But still, the mother will call the child Padmalochan, he who has lotus eyes. Because where there is affection in the heart, where there is love, that mother does not see any apparent shortcomings in the object of love. Instead, she sees more beauty, more innocence, more attractive, chubby features of the child, which others may not be able to appreciate. But the mother is able to, because of the presence of love in her heart for the child. So even if there are apparent shortcomings in a person, the person who loves this person is not just not seeing those faults, but at the same time, seeing so many good qualities. And this apparent fault could become a crown on top of all those good qualities. The mother may always see, oh, my child, poor child, he may not be able to deal in this world like everyone else. So more love in her heart rises because of that. So she doesn't see that as a dosha, but that becomes a guna, that becomes a quality. So therefore, Krishna, even if he transcendently has some shortcomings, Radharani, because she has so much love for Krishna, she has this knack, this technique, this transcendental attribute of concealing those apparent faults of Krishna and seeing more and more qualities in Krishna. And therefore, nobody can perceive as much beauty of Krishna as much as Srimati Radharani, because no one can possess as much love for Krishna as much as Srimati Radharani. So therefore, the saying, beauty lies in the eye of the beholder, is so true. Because Krishna is very beautiful, no doubt. Swabhavik. By nature, he is very beautiful. But the beauty that Radharani perceives of Krishna, no one else can perceive. Because beauty is the attribute of those who possess love. So therefore, Radharani glances at Krishna. And because of her love, it goes both ways. Because of the presence of her love, Krishna gets attracted to that love. And when he gets attracted, he becomes happier. And when he becomes happier, his beauty increases. And Radharani perceives that beauty and her love increases. But perceiving that love, his beauty increases. This is one. Apart from that, because Radharani has love, her perception of that increase in beauty is higher than others. So therefore, Radharani can completely conquer Krishna. And there is no doubt that Krishnasya Dravinam Radha, Krishnasya Dravina Radha, Radhika, Radhaya Dravino Hari, Jivane Nidhane Nityam, Radha Krishna Katirmama. Krishna Gehe Stita Radha, Radha Gehe Stito Hari, Jivane Nidhane Nityam, Radha Krishna Katirmama. Krishna Dehe Stita Radha, Radha Dehe Stito Hari, Jivane Nidhane Nityam, Radha Krishna Katirmama. In the Yugalashtakam of Srila Jiva Goswami, he says, Krishnasya Dravina Radha. Who is Radharani? Radharani is the wealth of Krishna. And Krishna is the only possession of Radharani. Radharani's only wealth is Krishna. And Krishna's only wealth is Radharani. And this can be illustrated very beautifully in the famous pastime in Uchagaon. Recently, we celebrated the appearance day of Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi appears before Radharani. And on the day of Radharani's appearance, Vishakha Sakhi appears. So the two closest associates of Radharani, they are appearing around the same tithi, so that Radharani is together with her sakis, even as far as tithi is concerned, what to speak of in person, they're definitely there. So Lalita Sakhi's appearance and her pastime place is Uchagao. Lalita Sakhi has very high class love for Radha Krishna. Therefore, even her village is called Ucha. Ucha means very high class. So in Uchagao, there's a very beautiful place called Dehakund. It's a nice, beautiful water pond representing a certain pastime in this regard to what we are speaking. We are mentioning about how Radharani is the true possession of Sri Krishna. She is the true wealth of Krishna. So to illustrate this, let's go to Dehakund after Sankari Kauran Barsana. Dehakund in Uchagaon. So once upon a time in Uchagaon, there was a Brahmana who was very poor. He was very poor. And at the same time, he had a very beautiful daughter to get married off to a suitable boy. Now, it's very difficult because he's a Brahmana. He does not have a source of income. He does not have wealth, proper savings. He's very poor. And yet at the same time, he has a beautiful daughter. And to arrange for the marriage ceremony of this beautiful daughter, he needs a lot of wealth. But he does not have so much wealth. So what to do? This Brahmana was in a very precarious situation emotionally. And to add and to top it all, he had a wife who had a very sharp tongue like a razor. And she was chastising the husband, the Brahmana husband, that what kind of a nonsense husband are you? You don't even have money to take care of me and our daughter. How are you planning the marriage of our daughter? Who's going to accept our daughter? How are you going to make this arrangement? Where is the boy going to come from? Which family is going to agree to give their son in marriage to our daughter? So you leave the house and you find a son-in-law for us, a suitable husband, a suitable boy for our daughter. And when you find and you make enough arrangement for the money, then you come home and give me the good news. Enough is enough. I can't tolerate this anymore. So this was the time during Krishna's time, 5,000 years ago. So the Brahmana, helplessly, he came to Nandanandan Sri Krishna. And Nandanandan Sri Krishna was with Srimati Radharani and all the Sakhis. They were far away from Nandagram. They were in Uchagaon, which is next to Barsana. So this Brahmana came running to Nandanandan Sri Krishna and said, "Oh, Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda and Yashoda, you are the prince of Brajmandal. You're going to be the future king. I know for sure that you have a lot of wealth. Please bless me with some wealth. I'm a Brahmana. I have no money. And my wife has chastised me and given an ultimatum that if you don't get a suitable son-in-law for our daughter, then you better not come home. So please give me some wealth, make some arrangements so that I can have my daughter married off." Nandanandan Sri Krishna, very merciful heart. He looked at the Brahmana and he said, "Oh, I wish I could give you all my wealth. But unfortunately, all my wealth is with Dauji in Nandagram. And I am away from Nandagram. And here at Uchagaon, I have no wealth from my house. But however, I want to give you in charity the greatest possession, the greatest property, the greatest wealth that I possess, that is always close to my heart. The best ornament of my life, Jivanam Bhushanam Me, is what I want to offer to you." So therefore, Krishna very quickly, he did Achman, took a Sankalpa, and he said, "The greatest wealth I have in my life is Srimati Radharani. And I give you Srimati Radharani in charity. You ask for wealth, I give you Radharani in charity." So he did this. He did a few swaha, aha. He did a few mantras. And Krishna said, "Now I have announced giving Radharani in charity to you." So the Brahmana started crying loudly. Krishna, Nandanandan Sri Krishna said, "Why are you crying? I tried to help you." The Brahmana said, "Oh, I left my house with one daughter. And now I have to return home as a solution. But now I have two daughters. How will the second daughter be the solution for the first daughter? My wife is going to kick me out of the village now for bringing in two daughters." It's not possible. So Nandanandan Sri Krishna said, "But what to do? This is the only property that I possess. Very truthfully, I'm telling you, the whole of Nandagram, the whole of Nandabhavan, all the possession that I have is insignificant to the wealth that I have offered you." When Radharani got to know this, she said, "Oh, Nandanandan Sri Krishna, how is it that you have given me in charity? I can't live without you." Krishna said, no, I've already given in charity." She said, "But I can't live without you." No, I've already given you in charity. No more talks on that. Radharani said, "But oh Krishna, you know for sure you can't give me charity because I can't live without you." No, don't cry, oh Radhike. Don't cry, oh Radhe. I've already given you in charity. Brahmana is crying, Radharani is crying, and Krishna is in a problem. Lalita Sakhi comes there because this is Uchagaon. This is her place. She comes there. And she offers a very beautiful solution. She says, "Radharani is what you offered. So we can offer Radharani, but at the same time, you can keep Radharani." Krishna said, "How is that possible?" Lalita Sakhi said, "We will ask for a weighing scale. And on one side, we will have Radharani sit. And on the other side, we'll all the sakhis, we'll offer all of our ornaments on the other side. And that weight of the ornaments, which matches the weight of Radharani, is what we'll give in charity to the Brahmana. So in that way, you are giving Radharani the golden mountain of the same weight, that which is wealth. But at the same time, you can keep Radharani for yourself." Sri Nandanandan Krishna was very, very happy hearing this. And then all the sakhis, they offered all their ornaments. And that weight of Radharani's body, they gave to this Brahmana. The Brahmana started smiling. He was very happy. Radharani started smiling. She was very happy. The Sakhis were very happy. And Nandanandan Sri Krishna was very, very happy. Because the weight of Radharani's body, which in Sanskrit is Deha, was given to the Brahmana here, the equivalent treasure of the weight of Radharani's body was given. The kund, which commemorates this pastime in Uchagaon, is called as Deha Kund. It is just behind the famous Lalita Sakhi Mandir in Uchagaon. So behind that, there is Deha Kund. So this pastime shows us how Krishna is not just subservient to Radharani. He clearly proclaims Radharani to be the possessor of the property of Radharani's life. Krishna is the possessor of the property of Radharani's life. Radharani is his only bhushanam, abharanam. Krishna has sung. Tvamasi mama bhushanam, tvamasi mama jivanam, tvamasi mama bhava jaladhi ratnam. O Radhike, O Radharani, who are you? Tvamasi mama bhushanam, you are my only ornament, the ornament of my life. Tvamasi mama jivanam, you are not just the ornament of my life, you are my life. And tvamasi mama bhava jaladhi ratnam, you are the ornament of my life. You are the boat who will help me cross over the ocean of suffering due to separation. Jayatu Padmavati, Jayatu Jayadeva Kavi. So this very beautiful composition of Jayadeva Goswami and his dear wife Padmavati. Their names are also appearing at the end. So we see how Krishna is Prayasi Vashibhut. He is under the control of the Sakhis. We see that in the pastime in Sankari Kaur. And then here in Uchagaon, in Deha Kund, we see how Radharani is the only wealth, the only ornament, the only treasure, the only property of the life of Sri Krishna. It's very interesting that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 23, text 86 onwards, we see there are 25 chief qualities of Radharani described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Of course, it's taken from Ujjwala Neelamani of Srila Rupa Goswami in the Sri Radha Prakarana section, where Krishna, who possesses 64 transcendental qualities, he is completely attracted by that Radhika, that Radharani, who possesses 25 chief transcendental qualities. Actually, Rupa Goswami says no one can count the number of qualities that Radharani has, because as you start counting, they are increasing. So we will never come to the end. Even Ananta Shesh, with all of his millions and millions of hoods, for the lifespan of Brahma's presence in his post, cannot describe these qualities, because these qualities have so many technical details and so many subsections and divisions in quantity and quality. So who can describe? But just like out of unlimited qualities of Krishna, 64 are listed out. Out of the unlimited qualities of Radharani, 25 are listed out. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that out of these 25 qualities, he lists all of them. The verses are mentioned where Radharani is very sweet. She is freshly youthful. Her eyes are restless. She smiles very brightly. She has very beautiful, auspicious lines. She makes Krishna very happy with her bodily fragrance. She is expert in singing and dancing. Her speech is very, very charming. She is expert in joking and speaking very pleasingly and sweetly. She is very humble, very meek, very gentle in her dealings, always full of mercy. She's at the same time little crooked and cunning when it comes to Krishna. She is very expert in her duties. She never neglects them. She is shy in personality, in her nature, very respectful to superiors, always very calm, very peaceful. Yet at the same time, very deep and grave and profound in her nature. She is expert in enjoying pastimes in Vraja. She is situated at the highest, topmost, unparalleled position of ecstatic love. There's no one else apart from her in that level of Madanakhya Mahabhav on the progression of bhakti from Shraddha to Prem and beyond. That's so much so that that level is called Mahabhav. And Radharani is called Mahabhava Swarupini. Mahabhava Swarupatvam Krishna Prema Variyasi Prema Bhakti Pradedevi Radhike Tvam Namamyaham. It's not said that Radharani is at the level of Mahabhav. It's said that she's made of Mahabhav, Madanakhya Mahabhav, because there's no one else at that level. And she is a reservoir of loving dealings in Goloka Vrindavan. She's very, very, she's famous. In fact, most famous, Kaviraj Goswami mentions, of all those who are subservient and subordinate to Krishna. Very affectionate in her dealings to elderly people. Very submissive to the, agrees to adjust to the love of her sakhis, her friends. She is the chief gopi of Krishna. And she always, most importantly, keeps Krishna under her control, under her her grip. So therefore, out of these 25 qualities, if you see, the last two are most attractive in the sense that she is the chief gopi. And most importantly, in today's discussion, she is the one who keeps Krishna under her control. So these 25 are also very beautifully listed by, if you analyze them, the first six qualities are the glories of her form. The next three are the glories, the attributes of her voice. Then we see the next 10 are with respect to the qualities of her mind. And the last six are with respect to her speciality in relationship with other devotees. So 6 plus 3 plus 10 plus 6 is 25. Even as far as her form is concerned, Rupa Goswami has very beautifully mentioned the sweetness of Radharani's beauty such that her body, her limbs are very soft. And they are molten gold. How soft is Radharani's body? Rupa Goswami gives an example that when Radharani is resting her back on a kunj, or either she is laying down on a bed of jasmine buds, or when she is resting her back on the background which has been made by Vrinda Devi of jasmine buds, very soft, tender jasmine buds. So when she is resting on a bed of jasmine flower buds, when she wakes up from that bed, the jasmine buds are not crushed. In fact, those jasmine buds are as they are. In fact, now they are mixed with the bodily aroma of Srimati Radharani's body. And at the same time, the impressions of these buds are seen on the back of Srimati Radharani's golden form. So that is how soft her body is. Even Krishna's body is very, very soft. When Krishna plays the flute, sometimes a leaf may fall off a branch and then stick on Krishna's forearm as he's playing the flute. And when the leaf is taken off, the impression of that leaf is found in Krishna's skin. That's how soft Radha and Krishna's bodies are. Radharani has a very sweet smile. Gaurim rakta vararamyam sunetram susmitananam, Raghunath Das Goswami has said. Gaurim rakta vararamyam, that she has a very beautiful golden complexion with a reddish hue, with a reddish tinge. And Sunetram, she has very big, wide eyes. Very big, wide eyes. Sunetram. And Susmitananam, very sweet, smiling face. And she has these eyebrows which are crooked, which are dancing. And lips which are very red. And at the same time, the walking of Radharani has been described by Rupa Goswami as Gajagamini. She walks with the swaying of an intoxicated, maddened elephant, female elephant. She's walking, Gajagamini. And her eyes also, they're very, very long up to the ears. You know, it's almost like the eyes of a deer in the forest. The deer are very timid. They have very wide eyes, very beautiful eyes. And you make little sound, the eyes go from end to end. So that is Radharani's eyes. The eyes are like completely full and big up to the ears, like the ears of a deer. But at the same time, the blinking of the eyelids are like the petals of a lotus flower. However, now we come to the main point of our discussion. When she is angry with Krishna, when she becomes Manini, she controls Krishna to such an extent that no one else can do, only Radharani. Because when Lakshmi Devi gets angry, Vishnu has other options. he can become Krishna and go to Dwarka, and then he can be with 16,108 queens. So Lakshmi Devi comes back to his lotus feet. So she can't afford to be angry because then Vishnu can leave her. But Krishna, when he comes to Dwarka, Rukmini, Satyabhama, and other sakhis and other wives and queens of Krishna, they also cannot get very angry with Krishna. If they say, oh, we don't want to look at your face, we don't want to talk to you, Krishna will say, okay, then I better off go to Mathura or I go back to Vrindavan. So they can do that. In Dwarka, even when Krishna is resting, all day the queens have served Krishna and the associates of Krishna have served Krishna. But then also when Krishna is turning sides at night, he's saying, Hey Radhe, Hey Radhe, Hey hey, Gopi. So then they are amazed that even after we serve so much, Krishna is always remembering Srimati Radharani and the other associates of Braja. So now if we afford to get angry with him, he will have no reason to be with us. He will just leave us and go back to Vrindavan. So we can't afford to lose him. So they can get angry with Krishna. And when Krishna comes to Braja, and if the Sakhis get angry with Krishna, Krishna can always go to Srimati Radharani. But when Srimati Radharani gets angry with Krishna, Krishna has no other place to go. Therefore, there is no one except Srimati Radharani who can possess the sulking anger mood of Maan. Therefore, she's called Manini Sri Radha. You will never hear Manini Sri Rukmini or Manini Sri Lakshmi, because they can perform, they can't afford to get to the level of Maan, of a sulking mood, because they can lose their beloved or their lover, so to speak. But Radharani, she has so much Swadhina Bhratrika Bhav, which means she has this complete conviction that I can get angry with Krishna and he has no other shelter apart from me. So he will again come back to me and apologize. And this also Radharani does not do in pride. She does this to give pleasure to Krishna's heart. Because you see, when we are sitting for prasadam and different items are put in our plate, we are always interested on the item which is not put on our plate. We may have chapati, we may have sabji, we may have dal rice. Sorry, I mean, we're all starting to fast, midday fast. But just to make an example, I don't want to tempt your taste buds. But when you have different items on your plate, we see the neighboring row has rasgullas. And we didn't get rasgullas. So we put our hand up and say, Prabhuji, rasgulla nahi mila. I didn't get rasgulla. So we're not so interested about what's there on our plate. We're always interested about tasting that which is not tasted in our plate. So similarly, Krishna can get Aishwarya Bhav, Madhuri Ras, Shanta Dasya Sakya Vatsalya, Madhurya, everything everywhere. But he cannot get this taste of being rejected. And he has to now fall at the feet and give different excuses and different reasons and make a point to be accepted. This rasa Krishna cannot taste anywhere. To give Krishna that missing rasa that he is aspiring for, Radharani performs the seva of being Manini Sri Radharani. Therefore, Krishna is called Maan Vihari, he who sports in this bhav of Maan. And Radharani is Manini. Therefore, we see in Barsana Dham, we have Maan Gad, yeah, and Brajmandal, we also have Maan Sarovar like that, and Maan Vihari Mandir. So this is a very, very beautiful mood. So I was mentioning about Radharani's eyes, which are like a deer, and they move from left to right. But however, the lotus petals of her eyes, when she gets angry with Krishna, the eyes, the lotus petals are almost as if they're closed. And she's shooting sharp glances on the corner of her eyes. It's not Kripa Kataksha, but it is Kopa Kataksha, glancing with anger. So therefore, Kaviraj Goswami here, quoting from Rupa Goswami, he says, Krishna Priyavali Mukhya Santata Shrava Keshava. That she is Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. She is the most chief gopi amidst all the Priya, Krishna Priya, all the dear associates of Sri Krishna. And most importantly, Ashrava Keshava. She can completely control Keshava like no one else does. So it's interesting. Rupa Goswami and other acharyas have mentioned more about Maan, because we don't discuss much about these things. Today is Radhashtami. So what she offers Krishna, which no one else offers, that is the Maan Seva of being angry and sulking. This no one except Radharani can offer. Even Lalita and Vishakha cannot offer. Because when they offer this Maan, Krishna can run to Radharani and say, please help me. But when Radharani rejects, so he has Anyatha Sharanam Nasti Tomeva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena. Therefore, with mercy, oh Radharani, I have no other place to go. Please accept me. So acharyas have explained this state of Maan. It is Sthayi Bhav also. There's one aspect of Sthayi Bhav, which means Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajan Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti Bhav, Prem, and then Sneha, Maan, Pranay Rag, Anurag Bhav, Mahabhav, etc. So that Maan is a Sthayi Bhav, is a fixed mood of the devotee. But at the same time, Maan that we are discussing about is Vipralamba Rasa. It is the Rasa. It is the ever-moving emotion of contrary mood. And that also, it has two, Rupa Goswami explains, it has two portions, it has two aspects. That which has a cause and that which is without a cause. So invariably, if it has a cause, the cause is a transcendental jealousy. If Krishna went, let's say, to the kunj of the rival of Radharani by the name Chandra Havali. If Krishna goes into the kunj of the rival of Radharani, and then he gets delayed and the parrots of Brinda Devi have spotted him there, then there's transcendental jealousy. That is man with a cause, and Radharani will not look at Krishna. She may order all the sakhis, I don't want to see anything black in this kunj. I don't want even you to have hair, because your black hair reminds me of Shama Sundar. Shave off your hair. Like that. So that is when man has a cause. And sometimes it can be without a cause also. Sometimes it can be without a cause also. Even in this world, we can see, even in the purported reflection, we can see sometimes there can be fights between young couples with a cause, and sometimes even without a cause. And it just goes off by itself. So in the man, as far as the Vipralamba Rasa is concerned, if it has a cause, we mentioned it is because of transcendental jealousy. And if it doesn't have a cause, it may go away on its own. So this is the main speciality, the Vaichitya, the variety that Radharani offers Krishna, expresses her love, and increases his eagerness to offer service to Radharani. And then he tries to pacify Radharani's man, and that shows his expression of attachment to her. So Radharani shows her love to Krishna by offering that rasa to Krishna that Krishna does not taste anywhere else. And then in this, Krishna gets an opportunity to show his love to Radharani by trying to pacify her in different ways and showing an expression of her deep attachment, of his deep attachment to her, and how he cannot live without her. This is what the acharyas say as yugala priti, yugala prem. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhuja Bose Yugala Piriti. By taking shelter of the works of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, when will I understand the mutual affection and attachment of Radha and Krishna? So Rupa Goswami explains there are six ways when Radharani gets angry with Krishna to offer this man rasa seva. So there are six ways Krishna tries to pacify Radharani. So in the next 20-25 minutes or so, I'll try to stop before 9 o'clock because His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj is going to address on the occasion of Radhashtami. I would like to hear the class. So Eastern time. So we have about 30 more minutes to go. I'll try to speak till the end and then pass on the call to the organizers. So there are six ways in which Radharani's man is broken by Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains. It's called man bhanjan. Bhanjan means to break. Just like when Krishna broke the cart wheel, Shakat, the Leela is called Shakat Bhanjan Leela. So similarly, this is six ways by which Krishna performs Man Bhanjan Leela. There are six main ways, and when they don't work, Krishna uses his lethal weapon, which is the seventh one. So please hear carefully. It's a very sweet description. The first way by which Krishna tries to do Man Bhanjan, breaking Radharani's man, it is called as Sama, which means by pacifying her with sweet words. He tries to speak to her very sweetly. Oh, Radharani, you can be as hard as a thunderbolt on me, or you can be very soft as a lotus flower on me. I have no other shelter apart from you. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants in the mood of Radharani to Krishna are actually the words of Krishna chanted to Radharani, which Radharani is echoing back to Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ashlishiva padaratam pinashtuma madarshanan marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidathatu lampato mat prananathastu sa evanapara. So this is the bhav of Krishna. During Man Bhanjan, he is offering these prayers to Radharani that you are like the rain-filled monsoon cloud. Although I look like the rain-filled monsoon cloud, you are the rain-filled monsoon cloud and I am the peacock. When I look at the rain-filled monsoon cloud, I feel like pulling up all my colorful feathers and dancing in happiness. But if the rain-filled monsoon cloud starts hating the peacock, where can the peacock go? Oh, Radharani, you are the Chandra, huh? And I am your Chakora. Yamuna Jivana Keli Parayana Manasa Chandra Chakora. Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses this example that, oh Krishna, my mind is the Chakora Pakshi. Is the bird called Chakora, poetically, which drinks in the moonbeams of the moon. Just like the peacock drinks, it likes to dance under the rainfall monsoon cloud, and the Chataka Pakshi drinks the water from the cloud. Similarly, the Chakora Pakshi, the Chakora bird, likes to bathe and bask in the moonbeams of the moon. So, oh Radharani, you are like the Chandra and I am like the Chakora. I agree, I may have made mistakes, I am wrong. Never again, I promise you, I never again will I break your heart. How can I satisfy you? How can I offer my obeisances? How can I break this man of yours? Krishna is speaking, sometimes he's repeating himself. And the Sakis of Radharani are saying, come up with something new. You already said that. Krishna said, I don't know. I'm falling short of words. I don't know how to break this man. And when Radharani gets angry, her Siksha Guru in this anger is Lalita Sakhi. So Lalita Sakhi is a very volatile, very explosive, Pragalbamai Sakhi who has Vama Prakara Bhav, which is a very explosive mood of anger. One time, my Siksha Gurudev was asked this question that, Shripad Mukundata Prabhu, can we worship Narasingadev? I already have Radha Krishna deities. Can I worship Narasingadev also? And he said, yes, you can worship Narasingadev. But if you really want to worship, okay, then he asked, why do you want to worship Narasingadev? So the devotee said, actually, he's very ferocious. So he will protect me in the seva of Radha Krishna. Mukundata Prabhu laughed and he said, oh, if you want someone ferocious, then who can protect you on the service of Radha Krishna, then I think instead of Narasingadev, you should worship Lalita Sakhi. And he laughed. He said, Lalita Sakhi is more ferocious than Ugra Narasingha. Because Ugra Narasingha, in his highest state as Brajendra Nandan Shri Krishna, is at the lotus feet of Lalita Sakhi, begging her to pacify Radharani. So, of course, we all should worship Narasingadev, but I hope contextually you understand this is the mood. So this is the first style, the first technique that Krishna uses of man bhanjan, using very sweet words to break Radharani's sulking mood. But how does he know if the man has been broken or no by his sweet words? Either Radharani will smile or Rupa Goswami says tears will flow from her eyes. If tears flow from the eyes of Radharani or she smiles on her face, oh, then one of these two or both of them, these are signs that her man has been broken. For example, there is a very beautiful story that one time when Radharani was in Man and Krishna was speaking very sweetly to Radharani, no response was given by Radharani. At that time, after hearing the sweet words of Krishna, she put her head down. And at that time, tears began to flow from her eyes, wetting her cheeks. At that time, the Sakhis who were watching, they said, oh, the Yajna for Cupid will begin very soon. What does that mean? Cupid is the god of transcendental love. So the Yajna for Cupid will begin very soon. Why? Because Yajna starts when there is a kalash, a kumbha, a pot is filled with water. So Radharani's heart is like an empty pot. In humility, she doesn't hold anything with herself. So her heart is like a pot. It's an empty pot of humility. In complete selflessness. She doesn't hold anything for herself. So when she's crying, her tears are going into the pot of her heart. Therefore, when the pot, the kalash is being filled by her tears, that means very soon, the yajna of Cupid is going to begin. So like that, in this way, Shastra speaks in a very rasic way, in a very sweet words with a secret, parokshavada, indirect speech. So in that way, very, very beautiful words have been spoken in this regard of man bhanjan. So this is the first way how Krishna tries to break the man. When he breaks, we know either Radharani smiles or she breaks down in tears. Another way, the second technique that Krishna uses out of the six after Psalm is Daan, Krishna giving in charity to Srimati Radharani. So Daan means to give a gift. So sometimes Krishna gives a gift to Srimati Radharani, or most of the times he himself becomes the gift and comes to Srimati Radharani. So like, for example, you see in the Chamatkar Chandrika of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how Krishna himself becomes the gift and he goes to Srimati Radharani. So there are descriptions how Mother Yashoda was once preparing a lot of gifts. And at that time Krishna came and said, oh Maya, oh Mother, what are you doing? Krishna, Mother Yashoda said, oh Krishna, don't disturb me. You go, continue with your work. Krishna said, no. When I asked Nanda Baba what he's doing for Indra Puja, he told me, initially he told me you go play. But he told me ultimately. So if Baba can tell me, why Maya cannot? Oh, Maya, now you should tell me what you're doing. So accordingly, I will also be aware of it. I'm going to be the future king of Braja. I must know what the queen of Braja is doing, the mother is doing. So Mother Yashoda said, oh, Krishna, oh, Lala, oh, Kanhaiya, I'm actually making gift boxes for Srimati Radharani. And I'm filling these boxes with gifts. And they're all going to go to Yavat, to Srimati Radharani. And actually, Abhimanyu is going to come and carry this box on his back and take it to Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani. So when Krishna got to know, oh, really? These gifts are going to go to Srimati Radharani? These boxes filled with these gifts are going to go from here to Yavat? Krishna listened and he was trying to process it in the mind. When Mother Yashoda left, she had actually locked up these boxes with big, big locks. Krishna called in all his friends, broke all these locks, removed all these gifts out, distributed it amidst his friends, and sat into the box and told his friends, now you lock the box. Because Radharani there was in Maan, in separation from Krishna. So now Krishna is using the second technique of Maan Bhanjan, which is called as Daan, by giving in charity. So he gave away, distributed all the gifts to his friends, and then he himself trapped himself into that box as a gift, and the friends locked it up. So after that, Mother Yashoda, she made all the preparation. She sent a person who could inform Abhimanyu that the gift boxes are ready. So then Abhimanyu came there to the house of Mother Yashoda, and he lifted the box. It's so heavy. He doesn't know who's inside. He's feeling very happy. Oh, so many gifts have been packed by Mother Yashoda for Srimati Radharani. So let me take this. And he carried with so much sweat to Yavat and placed it in front of Radharani and said, oh, Sri Radhe, please take this gift. It has been packed with so much love by Mother Yashoda. I have carried it with so painstakingly. I have carried it. All of this is only for you. Don't share it with anyone. All the ingredients of the gifts in this box are specially sent by Mother Yashoda only for you. And oh Radha, I don't want to see you feeling uncomfortable in my presence in opening up, because I don't know what those gifts are. Therefore, I let you open them and be happy in seclusion so you can be happy. So Abhimanyu leaves and Radharani breaks the lock and opens up the box and Krishna springs out. Krishna springs out of the box, and that Radharani, who wouldn't meet Krishna because of Maan, she started laughing loudly, seeing Krishna himself coming as the gift. So the second technique Krishna uses is Daan, of which he can gift himself to Radharani as a gift, or sometimes he can gift Radharani other things. Like one time when Radharani was in Maan, so since the whole series is on Maan, all of these stories are of Maan Leelas. When Radharani once was in Maan, Krishna came to Radharani, and he's using a mixture of sweet words and at the same time Daan. So sometimes Krishna can use two techniques at the same time. He's very expert. He's Vidagdha Madhav. He's the expert Madhav. So when he speaks to Radharani, very sweetly he's saying, but at the same time he's offering a gift. How he's putting it, you can appreciate Krishna's wit here. Krishna looks at Radharani and says, oh, Srimati Radharani, oh, Radhe. Cupid, Kamadev, the god of love, he knew that I am coming to meet you today. Therefore, he wanted me to gift you something very interesting. Radharani is not even looking at Krishna. Krishna said, actually, Kamadev told me to gift you a blue sapphire ankle bell. What is that blue sapphire? That blue sapphire is Krishna himself. He is the Ujjwala Neelamani. He is the blue sapphire touchstone. And why he is saying ankle bell? Which means he's offering obeisances at Radharani's feet. I want to be happy at your lotus feet performing seva. So Krishna then, he touches Radharani's feet and writes his name, Shyam, on the sole of her feet. And then when she looks at that, then she's happy. She is completely satisfied. When she's satisfied, she answers back to Krishna with a smile. Do you know what Cupid wants me to offer you? Cupid wants me to offer you a golden bracelet, which means she is the gold, and bracelet means that which holds Krishna's hand. So in this way, many beautiful Maan Leelas are, there is Maan Bhanjan done by the second technique of offering gifts. The third technique that Krishna uses is Nati. Nati means to offer obeisances. When sweet words don't work, when gifting something to Radharani or gifting himself to Radharani doesn't work, then Krishna uses the third technique. It is called as Nati. Nati means offering obeisances. We know this word. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nati Bhi. Sankhya Purvaka. The Acharya's word with count. Nama, names, Gana, songs, and Nati Bhi, obeisances. With count, they would chant the names of Krishna, sing the songs for Krishna, and offer obeisances to Krishna, like our Raghunath Das Goswami and others. So Nati means to offer obeisances. So Krishna offers obeisances to Radharani. Smaragaralakhandanam mama shirasi mandanam dehi pada pallavam mudaram priye charushile munchamaimanam nidhanam munchamaimanam nidhanam. O Radharani, priye, O dear, charushile, with wonderful face and wonderful character, munchamaimanam, please give up this man. How? Smaragarala khandanam mama shirasi mandanam. O Radharani, please kindly place your lotus feet on my head. I want to offer my obeisances unto you. Never again will I make the same mistake. Never again will I keep you waiting. Never again will I speak lies to you. Never again will I cook up stories to you which are not true. And Krishna offers his obeisances. He offers his flute. He offers his peacock feather at the feet of Radharani. Everything that is his identity. Like the waist cloth, the vanamala, his peacock feather, his flute. He offers all of that touching the lotus feet of Radharani, saying, I, with all my proud attributes, I am offering my obeisances at your lotus feet. Even when that doesn't work, then what Krishna does is he breaks down in tears. And when the warm tears of Krishna, they land on the lotus feet of Radharani, then her heart melts. So this is the third technique that Krishna uses. After Sama, Dan, and Nati, these are the three techniques he uses. When third doesn't work, technique number four. It's almost like plan A, plan B, plan C. So Krishna uses technique number four for Man Bhanjan of Srimati Radharani. What is that fourth technique? It's called Upeksha. Upeksha means neglect, trying to ignore. So just like Radharani tries to ignore Krishna, Krishna uses his fourth weapon, his fourth technique to try to ignore Radharani. Now you see, just like Krishna does not have any other shelter apart from Radharani, Radharani also has no other shelter apart from Krishna. So when Krishna neglects Radharani, that affects Radharani, because where else will she go? She is Govinda Anandini Radha. She is Govinda Anandini Radha. She gives pleasure to Krishna. So the fourth technique Krishna uses is Upeksha. He neglects Radharani. What is that? When so many things he's trying and it doesn't work, he talks very sternly to Radharani. Oh, Radhe, you have to listen to me. If you don't listen, I will leave. And saying this, he leaves. He continues on his way. But when he leaves, it depends whether Radharani follows him or doesn't follow him. Invariably, she doesn't follow him because she wants to follow him, but Lalita Sakhi will hold and say, become contrary. Ma dakshina bhava. Durte Vrajendra Tanaye Tanushushtu Vamya Madakshina Bhava. Oh Radharani, become contrary. Don't listen to this Lampat Chudamani. Don't listen to his crooked words. So therefore, then Krishna, when he walks away, he has to depend on other things. Like is broken, Rupa Goswami explains, with time. Let's say the springtime comes in a few days. So Radharani's man is broken because her memories of the spring season in the previous year comes up. Her heart softens with all those beautiful pastimes in the Vasanta season, in the Vasanta Rasa. So the memories of her pastimes with Krishna flood her heart during the spring season. Or it is described that, as an example, it is described by Jayadev Goswami that when Radharani came to a certain place, so this is the second way. So in Upeksha, when Krishna tries to ignore, and he leaves, he depends on time, either the spring season or he depends on place. Jayadev Goswami describes when Radharani came to a certain kunj, a certain forest in Man. She looked at that forest and she told a Sakhi, hey, Sakhi, I've been to this place before. And then pastimes flood her mind, her consciousness, her heart, memories flood that, oh, Sakhi, this is the forest where I first saw Shyamasundar. Sakhi hai keshi mathanam udaram. That, oh, Sakhi, this is the place where I first met Sri Krishna. And in this way, by the influence of the place, her man is completely pacified. Even when that doesn't happen, time doesn't break and place doesn't break, then Krishna has only one way to go, and that is the flute. He plays the flute. Sometimes it's a combination of many elements. It's time also, place also, and flute also. Like, for example, our acharyas have explained that one day when Radharani was waiting for Krishna in a certain part of the forest, initially she was restless because Krishna didn't come, but she was hopeful. Then she became worried. Then she became more worried, very worried. She became very disturbed. And then she became disappointed that Krishna's not coming. And then she became very angry. But it was interesting that at that time she could hear the flute sound. And the flute sound came from the same kunj, which means Krishna had come early and he was hiding in the kunj just to see how much love in separation Radharani has for Krishna. So there, if you see, it's the time, it's the place, the influence of the place, and at the same time the flute. So in this way, Krishna uses multiple ways of upeksha to please the heart of Radharani. So if this also doesn't work, then Krishna uses his fifth weapon. This is called rasantara. Srila Rupa Goswami says rasantara means change of topic. Krishna changes the topic to melt the heart of Radharani so that the man is completely finished. He changes the topic. Like, for example, again, Rupa Goswami says this could have two types. Either it could be yadrichaya. Naturally, there's a change of situation. Naturally, there's a change of circumstance. Like Radharani could be in Man and suddenly the season changes and there is thunder and lightning and Radharani feels very scared and she may come and sit very close to Krishna and say, Krishna, please save me. So there, she has forgotten that she was in Man just by the change of circumstance, by the mercy of Vrinda Devi. Or sometimes buddhi purvaka, Krishna uses his intelligence to change the topic. Like, for example, Radharani is in Man and Krishna may sometimes say, my finger. And then everyone's looking, what happened? Krishna's saying, oh, I've been bitten by a five-headed poisonous serpent. Oh, and then he acts as if he has fainted. And then Radharani, who's holding her man, who's Manini, looking at Krishna faint like this, she jumps out of her man and goes running to say, Krishna, are you okay? And then when Krishna sees that Radharani is pouring her heart out, that Krishna, I hope nothing happens to you. Now Krishna opens his eyes and starts laughing because he has changed the topic and her affection for Krishna has overpowered her mood of sulking anger or man. So she has forgotten. So sometimes Krishna can use that. Also, Rupa Goswami describes sometimes Krishna can use multiple opportunities. Like he can use dan, which means charity, with rasantara, with change of topic. Like, for example, one time when Radharani was in Man, Krishna went and offered her a flower garland. That, oh, Radhike, please take this. And Radharani in Man, she took that flower garland and threw it back at Krishna's face. And when she threw, Krishna went, the flower, it pricked me. So immediately Radharani goes there, are you okay? Is everything okay? I hope you're okay. And Krishna starts laughing. So now what happened? He tried to pacify her man by giving her the charity, the dan of a forest flower garland. And when that did not work, he used another element there, that of rasantar. When she threw the garland, he changed the topic. And in this way, melted the heart of Radharani as Manini Sri Radha and as Manbihari Sri Krishna. So this is the fifth technique. Now, when this doesn't work, Krishna has only one last technique that he can use. And that is called Bhed, which means to divide and rule. Well, all politicians know this, how they can divide and conquer. Take one of the people from that camp on our side and then flip them as a lawyer from our side towards the opposing party. So what Krishna does is, he sometimes convinces one of the Sakhis of Radharani. He takes them on his side, Bhed, he creates division in the party, takes the Sakhi on his side and tells the Sakhi to become the lawyer for him towards the lotus feet of Radharani. Like, for example, Lalita Sakhi, although she's very, very powerful and very, very strong, she has been used successfully by Krishna multiple times in this matter of Bheda. An example of that is one time Radharani was waiting at the Kunj and Krishna was supposed to come in the evening, but it became night and she became very angry that he has forgotten her. So it became in the middle of the night and it's dark and very cold, and Krishna walked many miles under the rain. It was raining profusely, very, very cold, cold breeze, a dark night in the middle of the night, and Krishna walked so many miles through the forest, dangerous forest, and he came to the Kunj of Radharani and he was trembling. And Lalita Sakhi came out and Krishna said, "Oh, please tell Radharani that I got a little late, but let her please accept me at her lotus feet." And Lalita Sakhi looked at Krishna and asked Krishna what happened. And Krishna told her a big story. He said that actually I left home on time, but my mother, she actually engaged me in different chores at home. And I performed all of those domestic chores. Then when I left to meet Srimati Radharani, there was a big ghost demon that I had to fight. And by then rain began, but I still did not give up. I got soaking wet, trembling. I walked so many miles only to offer my services at the lotus feet of Radharani. Lalita Sakhi's heart melted. She went inside the Kunj and said, "Oh Radhe, I know you are in Man, but please listen to my words. Please accept Shikipichamole, the one who holds a peacock feather on his head. He's trembling and soaking. He's Rasa Vaisaha, which means he's filled with rasa. He's filled with water all over the place. So he feels very, very cold and he's trembling under the rain cloud, and in the middle of the night he has walked so much to come to you. Please kindly accept him." So in this way, very wonderfully, Krishna used Bhed to get Lalita Sakhi on his side to break the man of Radharani. When these six techniques don't work, now it's interesting. We spoke about Sam, we spoke about Dan, we spoke about Bhed, we spoke about Nati, we spoke about Rasantar, and we spoke about Upeksha. When these six don't work, then Krishna has only one technique to use. And what is that technique? He stands outside the Kunj of Radharani and does Naam Sankirtan. Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe, Jai, Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe. So all the Sakhis come together and they sing, Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. So when none of Krishna's Man Bhanjan techniques work, he chants the names of Radharani, performs Naam Sankirtan, and that melts the heart of Radharani. So therefore, if we want to melt the heart of Radha and Krishna, we have to use these techniques, which means we have to offer sweet words. We have to learn to offer gifts in service to Radha and Krishna. We must offer obeisances to Radha and Krishna. We must involve them in the pains of our life. We should pray to our acharyas. We should try to divide and rule, bring in Bhed. Bring the acharyas on our side and let them petition towards Krishna. And then finally calling out the name. So these techniques that Krishna uses for the Man Bhanjan of Radharani, the jivas in this world can use to beseech the mercy of Radha and Krishna. This is the level of Radharani's frame that Krishna, who is the source of all knowledge, source of all beauty, source of all strength, source of all wealth, source of all fame, and source of all renunciation. He becomes the maid servant of Srimati Radharani. He who blows the conch shell, the Panchajanya on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, free-flowing speaks Bhagavad Gita. He is so happy becoming the humble, insignificant maid servant in Braja at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, our Saraswati Pad, our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, those in the other sampradayas, they worship Radharani because she's somehow connected to Krishna. Their focus is Krishna. But we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our focus is the lotus feet, the service of Srimati Radharani. And then we accept Krishna and offer service to him because he's the one who pleases Radharani's heart the most. So therefore today on Radhashtami, we remember this very beautiful position of Manini Sri Radha, that she can offer this rasa to Krishna that not even the Sakhis in Braja can offer. So Manini Srimati Radharani ki jai, Man Vihari Sri Krishna Chandra ki jai, Man Sarovar Man Gad Barsana Dham Braj Mandal ki jai, our Gaudiya Guru Varga ki jai, Patita Pavan Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Haribo. I really want to thank the devotees who kindly participated in today's discussion and the organizers of this call for kindly considering me for this service. Whatever I tried to speak, I have, being a conditioned soul, I have made mistakes. So please forgive me and please bring in more appreciation to the service of Radha and Krishna. More importantly, through the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our six Goswamis. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful class. As you have already said, there is another class that Radha Swami Maharaj is going to give. So I guess you don't have any time for questions. Is that true, Prabhu? Are you
yes, Mataji. Unfortunately, I will not be able to take questions. I tried to speak till the end, leaving a couple of minutes for me to switch from this call to the other. But next possible occasion, whenever I will be fortunate enough to address the devotees and serve the devotees on this platform, I can take an extended Q&A, no problem. But for now, I think we all can remember Radharani and purify our consciousness by listening to higher Vaishnavas, superior Vaishnavas like Srila Radhanath Maharaj.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. I would like to thank all the devotees for joining. Let's all unmute and offer our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas assembled here. Vancha Kalpa Tarobhya
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Radhe Krishna.